Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and after the Democrats took control of Congress on Election Day, we met freshman Congressman John Hall, the Democrat from the Hudson Valley, who defeated Republican Congresswoman Sue Kelly. Remember her? Now Congressman Hall has introduced his first piece of legislation. It would require a special safety inspection of the Indian Point nuclear power plant, which Hall calls the most problematic power plant located in the nation's most densely populated corridor. Hillary Clinton is sponsoring the bill in the Senate. The company that owns Indian Point and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission both say a special safety inspection is not necessary. But tomorrow, Congressman Hall will be among the panelists at an event in Westchester to discuss ongoing leaks of tritium and strontium-90. That event, by the way, will be at the Wilcox Gymnasium at the Pace University Pleasantville campus at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. And Congressman John Hall joins me now. Congressman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to talk to you.
Tell us about these leaks. Tritium and strontium-90 sound really scary, but I'm sure most people don't know much about them.
Well, those of us who were around back during the atmospheric testing of nuclear weapons certainly would remember strontium-90. Tritium is a shorter-lived radioisotope, but also dangerous, and happens to be one of the ingredients in nuclear bomb triggers. Not that anybody thinks that somebody would take it from the Hudson River and use it for that. It doesn't exist in that concentration. Mm-hmm. But they both are carcinogens, and they both are leaking into the groundwater and from there into the Hudson River from the spent fuel cooling ponds at Indian Point. And, you know, this is only one of many problems that exist with the plant, which caused me, Congresswoman Nita Lowey, Congressman Elliot Engel, Congressman Maurice Hinchey, and Congressman Christopher Shays to introduce and co-sponsor legislation requiring an independent safety assessment of the Indian Point plant before its relicensing can proceed. And
to stay on the leaks for a minute, they were first discovered in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Are they that new?
They may actually predate that time. I think that's you know, the first public knowledge of them, but one could guess that they actually started before that.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission's position is, hey, we don't need what your bill would require a special safety inspection.
Right.
They say this is what we already do. We inspect all the country's nuclear power plants.
Right. And they also have never rejected an application for a licensing or a relicensing in the 50-year history of the nuclear industry.
So when they
I had a conversation in my office here in the House office building 2 weeks ago with the chairman of the NRC, Dale Klein. And Commissioner Klein told me that in response to a question about are there any circumstances that he could imagine in which they would refuse an application for a license, he said, well, our policy is if an application comes in and there's something deficient about it, we send it back to the utility and ask them to revise it. And, you know, generally we can work through it and get it to the
There haven't been any new nuclear power plants in America in decades, have there?
Well, there's a rush of them that are on the table this year in response to last year's misguided energy bill that was passed out of Congress and signed by the president, which continues to offer unprecedented tax breaks, subsidies, and indemnifications to this industry. But it's true that there has been, I think, one or maybe two relicensing applications that were approved in recent weeks, but there have not been new plants built in the last 30 years or so.
We can take a few calls for Congressman John Hall on Indian Point, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We're also going to get to Iraq briefly with him. But staying on these leaks, last year the NRC, and obviously you don't trust the NRC, but they declared that these leaks do not pose a public health risk. I'm reading now from the New York Times, March 18th of last year.
Right.
And it says the commission said it had reviewed and did not dispute an estimate by the plant owner, Entergy, that the largest direct exposure that a member of the public could receive from the leaking tritium was less than 0.001% of the maximum that the plant is allowed to cause by leaking liquids. The dose would be minuscule compared to background doses already occurring from natural sources of radiation, according to radiation experts.
Well, that's a self-serving statement that illustrates why it's necessary to have an objective outside investigation. And in fact, our proposal for the independent safety assessment includes members of the NRC on the panel, just not from this district of the NRC, not the people who've been directly involved in overseeing Indian Point to this date. And it also includes some outside experts as well. I think it's important to recognize that that this has been an agency whose stated mission, if you look at their website, is first and foremost the protection of the public health and safety, but whose record has been one of protecting the profits of the industry. And, I asked, for instance, I asked Commissioner Klein whether he would be moved to possibly deny the application for relicensing based on the population that's exploded in Westchester and Rockland counties and Putnam and, even further up into Orange and Dutchess. So the whole Hudson Valley has grown in population so much since the original licensing of this plant 40 years ago. And everybody knows, including workers at the plant who have told me, that the evacuation plan is a joke and that it can't work. A bad rush hour or an accident on the Tappan Zee Bridge can cause all those roads to be tied up to the point where you can barely move.
So because of the density of the population, are you among those who want to see Indian Point shut down entirely?
Well, I personally believe that it would never be allowed today if they had a new application for a new plant in that location with 8% of the population of the whole country living in a 50-mile radius. In fact, the utility probably wouldn't even ask for it in that location. But because it's there, they seem to think that the extra 20 years should be allowed. We've had in the last 3 weeks, I would imagine you've probably covered the three reportable incidents that there was one just a couple of days ago where there was some kind of an abnormal shutdown of the plant due to problems in its operation. Last week it was a broken fuel rod that was being moved in one of the spent fuel cooling ponds, and it broke in the process of being moved, and I'm not sure what the resolution of that was, but it's every time something of this nature happens, they say, don't worry, there's no danger to the public health.
Right. In fact, they say that the nuclear power industry is so closely regulated that any little things like these that don't pose a danger to the public health still need to be reported, and that's why we all hear about them. What would you say to that?
I would also say that we're living in a soup of pollutants, including not just radioactive elements that are introduced by man-made processes like this, but also that include chemicals and pesticides and food additives and PCBs and petroleum byproducts. And I mean, the problem is there's no controlled experiment. We have no way of looking at the incidence of cancer and other diseases in our own population and then looking at a control group that doesn't have all these chemicals in it and to see what the normal, quote-unquote, incidence would be.
Congressman John Hall from the Hudson Valley, my guest for another few minutes on WNYC. And I wonder how you feel about the larger issue of nuclear power in the global warming era, because as you know, Speaker Pelosi, when she announced the creation of the new House Global Warming Committee, said nuclear power on some level is worth another look and may have a role to play in the new world of energy trade-offs.
Right.
Where are you on that?
What she said was that nuclear power was on the table,
mm-hmm.
and at least that's the quote that I saw.
Yes.
And look, if the only choice besides fossil fuels were nuclear power, then, you could make a case that, we'll solve the waste problem and we'll solve the terrorism problem and we'll guard the shipments and we'll solve the indemnification problem by continuing to have the taxpayers underwrite the insurance for every plant in the country, whereas no other industry has that perk. But the fact is, it's not the only choice. And going from oil and coal and gas to nuclear is like going from the frying pan into the fire, whereas I'd prefer to get off the stove entirely.
But would you say that people are actually getting sick from nuclear power in America today, or is this just mostly a theoretical risk and, of course, a risk of the kind of thing that most people fear when they fear nuclear power, which is some kind of major accident and meltdown?
Well, we've seen a couple of major accidents and meltdowns, and predicted, every, a couple hundred reactor years, the industry's own projections have shown these serious accidents to be likely.
But again, the industry would say the only serious incident in the United States was Three Mile Island. Nobody got sick from Three Mile Island, and that was 30 years ago.
Well, I would dispute that nobody got sick from it, but there you have your battles of experts and witnesses. Consider the fact that we have in New York State, we have 4,000 some low-head hydroelectric sites where water is falling over dams and waterfalls that already exist, and all they need is a turbine to catch the water falling to generate 1,200 megawatts of power. That's 60% of Indian Point. And that's according to a Department of Energy to Idaho National Laboratory study from 3 years ago. That's, one way to start replacing the power. Consider the fact that the fastest growing private investment sector of the energy industry is wind, and that we have farms upstate in the Finger Lakes region, for instance, that where dairy farmers are getting subsidized by utilities coming in and putting up wind turbines on the ridges between the lakes. And it's not only saving farming that might be lost because of the cost of property tax and the unpredictability of the farm markets, but that we're developing an energy source that has no effect on our balance of payments, no pollution, no fuel cost, no acid rain, no armies going abroad to secure energy sources, and also no radioactive waste.
Let me get some calls in for you.
Sure.
Neil, who lives in your district. Neil, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Neil. Good morning. I'd like to thank Congressman Hall for joining the Congressional Progressive Caucus. And I also support the bill he has about Indian Point. My question is, there are a lot of great bills now in committee, not only the Congressman's bill for Indian Point, but also H.R. 746 that Mr. Hall supports to provide for the safe and orderly withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq. So my question is, how are we going to get these bills out of committee and brought to the floor in debate?
Well, we're working on trying to do that, and most of the Congress's time and attention, I would say, right now is concentrated on how we're going to handle the situation in Iraq and in the broader Middle East and our diplomatic and military posture in the world, and also, I might add, the financial stress that's placing on us as a country and the other domestic needs that are going begging because of the money that's being spent on wars, which many people think are energy related.
I was going to ask you anyway for your thoughts on Iraq. Are you for the MIRTHA proposal that would put new rules on troop rotation and training and equipment as a way to stop the troop buildup?
I haven't seen the MIRTHA proposal. It's being very closely held and closely guarded, and I'm going to be faced, as are all of our members, except those in the inner circle of leadership, I'm going to be faced with a bill that I will see shortly before. I mean, I just came from a meeting about this, and it's an ongoing discussion, and the bill is not set in its final form. The question is what comes to the floor. The bills that Neil referred to, there are many good bills that have been proposed by members, but what comes out of the Rules Committee and actually gets to the floor is the question. And when I see that, then I'll be able to tell you what my vote is going to be.
Your office just called us off the air and said you got to go. Can you take one more call?
Sure, go ahead.
Dean in Stamford, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Dean.
Dean.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Dean.
Dean, good morning.
I'm
curious, there was a facility built, I believe it was in Nevada, it's been done for 10 or 20 years, that could accept spent fuel rods and keep them safely for a very long time. And I'm wondering what the holdup is to finally using that. I know there's some action in the courts, but, you know, every issue that you hear about, for the most part, with nuclear power plants, spent fuel rods. And I'm just wondering what that, you know, when we can start using that facility.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Yucca Mountain, Nevada.
Yes, he is.
Well, the Yucca Mountain facility is still in the exploratory, you know, research and testing phase. It's been in the works for a long time. A lot of public money has been spent on it. But Harry Reid, the majority leader of the Senate, who is from Nevada, says he will not let it come to the floor. Nevada, as you could imagine, is opposed to the rest of the country, as they see it, dumping all the radioactive waste on them. So, and also every municipality between here and there has said that they'll go to court to prevent shipments by rail or highway of high-level radioactive waste through their borders. So it's an intractable problem, and we are an irresponsible society for letting it go this far, where every plant like Indian Point becomes a de facto nuclear waste storage site.
So talk about out of the frying pan and into the fire. Our next guest is the environmentalist Eric Goldstein from NRDC, who's going to talk about the New York City drinking water quality. And I guess the reservoirs are somewhat in your district, and whether we need a filtration plant because things are getting so contaminated. Do you have a real quick position on that?
I have a real quick suggestion that you can ask Alan, which is, if since the Hudson is tidal all the way to Albany, and the salt wedge in the summer and drought years goes as far north as almost as far as the Chelsea pumping station, which is one of New York's backup drinking water supplies, is he concerned, or what are his thoughts on strontium 90 and tritium being carried from Indian Point northward on the flood tide? That would affect either Chelsea's intake or the town of Poughkeepsie or the Wappingers. Town of Wappingers or other communities that get drinking water from the Hudson.
If that tritium or strontium 90 get into the Hudson, which so far the plant says they're not, correct?
Well, they are, in fact. It's been documented that they are, and that what the plant's representatives told me was that they're not in the Hudson in sufficient concentrations to worry about. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's one of the things that we'll hear on Friday from the experts attending this panel.
All right, so let me say again, that panel is 1:30 tomorrow afternoon on the leaks at Indian Point at the Wilcox Gymnasium at the Pace University Pleasantville campus. You will be among the participants, and that is free and open to the public?
Thank you, it is indeed. And Brian, thank you for the service you're doing by spreading all this information and having this forum.
Thank you very much, Congressman John Hall. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In a minute, we will talk about the quality of the New York City drinking water. Is it changing because of development upstate? Stay with us.